now till eternity. We have quite a few announcements. There is a Baptist Women's Workshop on March 1st from 9:30 to 12 noon in Tilbury. There is a poster at the back. It's $20, the registration, and the deadline for registering is February 17th. It'll be a very worthwhile event if you're able to attend. Our Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday, January 15th, and we're going to resume our study of the parables of Jesus. And there are handout sheets on the back podium, so just make sure you take one. Even if you aren't able to come to the study, take one. It's a wonderful exercise to spend time in God's Word on that worksheet. Today, we're going to have a potluck lunch following the service, and everyone is more than invited to attend. And following the lunch, there will be a memorial service for Judy Bryant. So please stay for this special time of fellowship, and lunch will be very delicious. The search committee has met with a potential candidate for our church part-time pastoral position. James O'Dadai came as a guest speaker back on October 27th, and he's going to return next Sunday on January 19th to preach as a pastoral candidate for our church. So please plan to attend next Sunday. I think it's really important that our church family is out to hear James, and we will be having a vote after the service. Some of the people in our church family have not had a chance to meet James, and he is coming into town on Saturday. So on Saturday, next Saturday, we're going to have some pizza, an open house pizza night at the church. So if you haven't met James, it's a great chance to come, have a bite to eat, and meet him before the Sunday service. So between 6 and 7:30, the church will be open, and please come by and have some pizza and meet James. Our speaker today is Mike Morency, so we're looking so forward to the message that he has, and any updates he shares from Matthew House is always exciting to hear. So we thank Mike for coming to bring God's Word today. So at this time, let's go to the throne of God in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you that you provide for all of our needs. Lord, we just thank you that we can depend on you. You're a faithful God. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for your provision of salvation for us. Lord, we had no hope, and it's only through your death on the cross and resurrection that we have hope. And Lord, we just know as we think about Judy and the fact that we know that she is with you and that she had faith in you. And Lord, we just know that that assurance alone gives us comfort at this time. So Lord, we just thank you for that hope that you give to us. We thank you for that assurance that you've provided for us. And Lord, we just ask that you be helping us to be bold in sharing that message with our family members and friends that need to hear that message of salvation. Lord, we thank you for each person in our church family, and Lord, we know that there are health issues, and Lord, we just pray for any person that's not here. If they're not well, we know that you know all of us intimately. You created us, and you knew us right from the very beginning of our life, and Lord, we just thank you that you know the needs that we have, and you know the health issues that we have, and Lord, we just ask for each person in our church family or anybody here this morning that needs your healing touch at this time. We ask, Lord, that you bring the necessary relief from pain and the necessary healing that's needed in our bodies. Lord, our bodies are physical and they are here for just such a short time. But Lord, the more important part of our body is our spiritual soul. And Lord, we just pray that as Mike preaches this morning, that you will give him the words that you want spoken this morning. We just pray that anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior will hear about how wonderful and loving you are and the need to have you and have that assurance of knowing that life forever with you is what we need. And it's the only way to have it is through faith in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we just pray that your Spirit will move in this place this morning. Lord, you've promised where two or three are gathered that you're present with us, and so we thank you for that assurance that we know you are here. and that you can speak in a mighty way. Lord, we just thank you for our neighborhood in this community. And Lord, we just pray that you will give us opportunities to reach out to the community. And Lord, as we consider a candidate next Sunday, we just pray that you will lead us in the right path that you want us to take. Lord, sometimes we think, and we've seen this over the years without a pastor, sometimes we think we have the person that is the right person, and the circumstances and your direction has led us to determine that that wasn't the path to go. So Lord, we just pray that as we meet James next week and we have him preach here, that you will lead us in making a decision that is your will and is pleasing to you. Lord, we just thank you for the leaders in our country, and Lord, we just know that there's change happening, but Lord, we know we can trust you. There's change happening not only in our own country, but in the United States as well, and Lord, we just know that sometimes that can be very scary, but Lord, we know that you are in control. You have a plan, and that all we need to do is trust in you and put all of our faith and confidence in you alone. So Lord, we just ask that you, that leaders that don't know you as their Savior will see the need for you and the need to follow and make godly decisions for the country. So Lord, we just ask that your direction happens in everything going forward in this situation with our countries and the change. Lord, we just, as we continue in worship at this time, Lord, we just thank you again for your presence here. We ask that that your truth will be spoken, your words in the songs will be sung and will touch our hearts. And Lord, just restore us, rejuvenate us, and help us to leave this place gung-ho and excited for you to share what we've heard and learned and read and sung and did and the fellowship we have this morning. We just pray that you'll bless it. In all of this, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
And guests. How many of you are guests here to Ambassador? A few of you over here. And how many of you have never heard me speak before? Just the one, two, maybe, yeah, Kevin. Kevin, what's your husband been doing each time I come and speak? Or not, yeah. So for those of you who've never heard me speak before, a few ground rules. First of all, I tend to talk a little bit fast. Sometimes I can go long, though. A couple of years ago, my wife, bought me this great watch, and I've started putting a timer on it. So that should help. But hang on tight, because I talk fast, and often I have a PowerPoint, and you can follow along up there. Today I don't. So if you got pen and paper, you want to take notes, you know, if you've got your Bible with you, make sure you're tracking along there. But if I ask her a question, I don't ask rhetorical questions, okay? Or if I do, I still want a response. Is that okay? Yeah. That tells me that you're still awake. Is everybody still awake?
Yes.
Okay. So this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about my source of treasure. And you may be going, oh, I'm not sure I care about your source of treasure, Mike, unless I can get some of it. And that's fair. But bear with me. How many of you have ever met somebody who seems to have it all? You know, they have the looks, they have the education, they have the style, they never have a problem keeping weight off. Think Ryan Seacrest. Anybody ever met anybody like that? Right? Yeah. There are these people in the world that really seem to have it all. Or in the Christian community, because different communities have different perfection standards, right? So in the Christian community, some people might be thinking like Billy Graham or his son Franklin Graham, right? They have, you know, the platform, they have the message, they have the voice. People who check off every box. And they may believe themselves or others believe that they meet the standard, right? And how many of you know that we all have standards, right? And one of the things that I find interesting is I preach at different churches all over the place, locally. I mean, I've been at Heritage Park and Banwell and New Song and Parkwood and Ambassador and Brooker, and I could go on and on the different churches. And each of those churches has some different unique things about the standard that is in their culture as a church, right? So when I come here to Ambassador, generally speaking, I'll try to wear a button down or a polo, some dress pants, because that's kind of what you guys like, right? But there are some churches where I need to wear a suit and tie. There are some churches where I better show up in jeans and a t-shirt or shorts and sandals, right? That's just part of the standard, the expectation. And there are some people that in their circle have this ability to just always meet that standard, or at least appear to always meet that standard. I've never been one of those. In almost any circle that I'm in, there's at least two or three boxes that I miss, right? I mean, definitely, I mean, I'm not horrible for a 50-something, but I definitely, you know, have more weight on me than I should. I'm not an ugly man, but I'm also no Ryan Seacrest. Though have you guys noticed, did any of you see him on New Year's Eve? He's looking old. I'm not sure he checks that box anymore, just saying. But the reality is that there are these standards that the world puts out to determine whether somebody is righteous. Now, we talked a number of months back about sanctification. We never really talked about righteousness. But what is, at its core, what does that word righteous mean? Anybody? That's the Christian term, but really it's right standing, right? So if it's just like you've never sinned, that means you have right standing with God, right? So Ryan Seacrest in the entertainment industry has right standing. He says the right things, does the right things, believes the right things, looks the right way. Within much of the Christian community, less so in the last 4 or 5 years, but in much of the Christian community, Franklin Graham has right standing. There are many Christian leaders that have right standing, right? But is that right standing right? Do you hear me on that? Is that right standing right? This morning I want to do a bit of a deep dive into the Apostle Paul's writings, specifically in Philippians and 2 Corinthians, to see what his standard was, what right standards were for him, and by extension, what he treasured, right? Because in several of the Gospels, it says, where your treasure is, there... Somebody said it. Your heart will be also, right? So what was Paul's treasure? What was the standard that he was pursuing, right? We know that the standard that Ryan Seacrest is pursuing is fame, celebrity, you know, and he's pursuing the standard good looks, et cetera, so forth. And blessings on him. Don't get me wrong. He does well with that. I don't begrudge anybody that. But my question this morning is that the standard that we should be pursuing? Because that standard results in a different treasure than the treasure we're after. But let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would be with us this morning, that you would speak to me, that not one word coming out of my mouth would be anywhere but from you, that you would speak to each and every one of us, Father God, that you would help us see if there are places in our lives where we're believing the world standard instead of you, that we would be believing a standard of the flesh instead of a standard of the spirit, that, Father God, you would touch each and every one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you got your Bibles in front of you, or if you brought them with you, if it's on your phone, are there Bibles in the pews? I think there are. Flip to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be most of our time in there. So when I say to flip over to 2 Corinthians, keep your finger in Philippians 3 because we're going to come back there. But Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 1, and we're just going to kind of unpack Philippians 3 as the basis of this message. Can we do that this morning? Come on, I'm not getting very many responses. Can I do that this morning? I need to know that you're still awake. Okay, Kevin? So starting at verse 1, it says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you." First of all, I just want to point out something here. You notice what he said about writing the same things to you again? Now, Paul is being gracious and saying it's no trouble for me to write the same things again. But he wouldn't be writing the same things again if he didn't need to write the same things again. So it's kind of like, has anybody ever said to you, if you read a scripture and it says, verily, verily, what are you supposed to do? Pay attention, right? Because it's basically Jesus saying, listen up, listen up. Okay? Hey, listen. Verily, verily. So Paul isn't saying verily, verily, but he's kind of subtly saying, I wrote this to you before. I'm going to do it again. Don't get me wrong. I no problem for me doing it. It's a safeguard to you. But at the same time, he's letting them know, okay, I'm having to remind you of this. Okay? But then he continues, watch out for those dogs. That's a pretty strong term, right? Even more so, like in our culture today, being called a dog, I mean, D-A-W-G is a good thing, but D-O-G, which this is a bad thing if you're being called a dog. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. First thing I want to point out to you here is that, and we lose it a little bit in the NIV translation, but three times in verse 2, Paul uses the Greek word for watch out. It's like, hey, watch out. Watch out for those dogs. Watch out for those evildoers. Watch out for those mutilators of the flesh. Watch out for them. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Warning the Philippian believers against the Judaizers. So what was happening and what Paul was writing to the Philippians about were these Judaizers who were Christ followers, but they were Christ followers that kind of said, faith is not enough. You need to be circumcised. And they were going around causing trouble in the church in that area by saying, hey, it's not enough to believe in Jesus Christ. It's not enough to be sealed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to be circumcised. They were trying to force a false standard, a standard based on something in this world that is in human control, circumcision, right? And there are churches and denominations that do that. Baptists, we want to see people get baptized. And there are a couple of Baptist denominations that do, but most don't say you're not saved unless you've been baptized. Right? Baptism is a seal of your salvation. It's a testimony of your salvation. Why? Because it is a human act. Right? It's a human standard. I come from a Pentecostal background, and there are some Pentecostals that believe that you're not saved unless you speak in tongues. Where they get that in Scripture, I don't know, because it's not there. but that's a false standard. That's saying that you have to do something in order to be. Right? It's the same thing that the Judaizers were saying. Right? In the church, we might say, oh, well, you have to attend, you can only miss, I know a church, literally, you can only miss 4 Sundays a year if you want to be in any membership role. Well, okay, that's a standard. It's a standard of performance. They don't necessarily have to do something. But what if their kids are sick? What if they are sick? That's an external standard. And this is the kind of stuff that Paul is saying, watch out. Now, I'm not talking about sin, and I want to be very clear there, okay? Because the standards regarding sin and righteous behavior are laid out in Scripture, right? The flip side is there are things that we put as our standard or other people put as a standard that Christ isn't putting on us, that Scripture is not putting on us, right? And it is those that Paul is saying for us to watch out for. we are not people, we are the people who do not put any confidence in the things of this world, who are not trying to meet this world's standards, right? So, I mean, if I didn't show up in a button-down and nice pants, Kevin and Dawn, your leadership would be gracious with me. If I showed up in ripped shorts and bare feet, stinking to high heaven, maybe not. I got a few heads shaken, no, right? But even if they said, hey, you can't come back to ambassador, that doesn't mean that I am not saved. That's not, so I will participate in some standards out of respect for groups, right? But that has nothing to do with my salvation. That has nothing to do with my relationship with Christ. I do not put any confidence in this world. I'm not trying to meet the world's standards, though the Apostle Paul, we see in Philippians and elsewhere in Scripture, certainly could have. He continues on in verses 4 to 6 to write this, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as far as righteousness based on the law, faultless. When it came to Judaism and Phariseeism, Paul was the Ryan Seacrest, right? Like he could speak for that population. No one could say that he didn't meet that standard. He ticked all the boxes for that standard, which is pretty impressive because he himself wrote about the law's destructive nature and how we cannot fulfill the law. But Paul himself is saying, hey, listen, I had every reason to be confident because I'm meeting the world's standards. I'm meeting the standards of the Pharisees. I'm meeting the standards of the temple. I'm meeting the standards of Judaism. But that's not where his treasure lies. Do you realize that? I mean, he goes on, and we're gonna flesh it out a little bit. In verses 7 to 11, he says this, but whatever were gains to me, I never now consider loss for the sake of Christ. So, having that ability to meet that standard was a gain for Paul. Do you realize that? Like, instead of having the life that the apostle had, where he was beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and bitten by snakes and chained and eventually killed, he could have had a wonderful, successful life within the Jewish leadership. Do you realize that? He could have. I mean, He got a letter from the Jewish leaders. He could go out and persecute the Christians. I mean, he could have made a career out of that. He could have had a nice house, you know. But no, he said, that's not my treasure. I consider all of that loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider, it continues, what's more, I consider everything, everybody say everything. Everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Jesus Christ as Lord. Our salvation through Jesus Christ. Is that worth more to you than your house? Than your job, than people's opinion, than your reputation? Is it worth more than all of those things? Paul is saying, for him, I consider, one more time, everything. I consider everything a loss because of that surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage. You got to remember, when Paul uses terms like dog and garbage, think of the Jewish culture, right? If something was dirty, you couldn't enter the temple. You were dirty. You were contaminated, right? So for something to be called a dog or to be garbage, that's worse than being contaminated. You are the thing contaminating. You think about that? So when Paul talks about those things, keep that in mind. So I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law or flesh or this world, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. The Greek here is really interesting. I want to know Christ, and there's a pause. Literally. In the NIV, it has a dash line. But there's literally a pause there in the Greek. I want to know Christ. Pause. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. You know, Christ told the parable of the lost coin and the 99 and the one sheep, right? The treasure buried in the field. We lose sight of that, church. When we start pursuing the world's standards, we are not pursuing the treasure. We're not pursuing the coin. We're not pursuing the one lost sheep. We're pursuing something else by trying to meet the world's standards. But our treasure is somewhere else, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. That passage can actually be flipped the other way around. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be evident. Right? Vice versa, where your treasure is, there your heart will be evident. So if I spend all of my time investing in wealth, and I mean, there was a time that I had businesses and I was accepted to Laurier University for their honors business program on scholarship. Would have been pretty cool. But that's not what God called me to. If I had pursued that, I would have been revealing my heart by pursuing that treasure instead of the treasure that is Christ. Do you guys realize that? Christ is a treasure. Some people get up on Sunday morning and going to church is a chore. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it is for some of us. I've shared with you guys, I mean, I've got fibromyalgia and a few different things that cause some difficulties for me. So this morning I was later than I usually was. I was sore this morning. I had a hard time getting moving. And if Christ was not my treasure that I was pursuing with all of my heart, how easy would it be to just roll over and say, well, I'm comfortable in my bed. I'm finally getting some sleep. Or, you know, I get a job offer from some other organization that would pay me a whole lot more money, so I go do that instead of being at Matthew House where God has called me to be. Church, Christ is the treasure. Christ needs to be the focus. And it's out of that that the blessings flow. Paul goes on to say that none of this really matters. None of all of the trophies, all the awards, doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor, you're tall, you're short, you're good looking, you're as ugly as something that came out of a beaten paper bag. You are healthy. You're sick. You're smart. You struggle. It does not matter. None of that matters in God's economy, on God's standard. All of those things are world standards, right? So, Philippians 3, 12 to 14, he says this, not that I have already obtained all this. I love Paul. He's brutally honest, right? Not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. Everybody say press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. What did Christ take hold of you for? Anybody know? To save us from sin. Yeah. To restore you to the family. Right? So the saving us from sin is the mechanism. So his death is the mechanism of saving us from sin. Saving us from sin is the mechanism of restoring us to the family. At the end of the day, that's the goal. The goal is not to have you saved from sin sitting in a church pew. The goal is to have you restored to relationship with him. That's the treasure. That's the goal. So Paul says, I press on through shipwreck, beatings, chainings, whatever it is. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Some people press on to take hold of, you know, especially this time of year, there's all kinds of people in the gyms, right? They're pressing on to take hold of some world standard. Don't get me wrong. Physical fitness and health is a good thing. God gave us this body. We should take care of it. But at the end of the day, are you doing it so that you can use that body to serve the Lord? Or are you doing it so you can be like GQ man? Oh, I didn't get the laugh I was hoping. GQ man. There we go. Yeah. What was that? Yes, the pulpit hit me. It's probably a good thing. So are you doing it for the purpose of your relationship with Christ? Or are you doing it for another standard? Brothers and sisters, Paul continues, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, forgetting that old standard, forgetting those old accomplishments, forgetting it all, and straining toward what is ahead. Church, I've said it before, the Christian life is not easy, and you should not expect it to be easy. Christ himself said, in this life you will have trouble. Yeah, most of us just kind of gloss over that scripture, just kind of put it away in a secret box and, yeah, lock it up really tight, put a brick on top of it. It's much nicer to listen to the prosperity gospels that say, hey, you know, God wants you to be rich and famous and successful and drive a Cadillac. God doesn't care about that stuff. God cares about you and your relationship. And like I said last time I was preaching here, training you for eternity. Because it's not even about this life. Whew, I'm getting wound up. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The goal, the prize, the treasure is that restored relationship, church. It's not even about feeling good here on this earth. It's not about having a growing, vibrant church. Not that God doesn't want that, because a growing, vibrant church is a sign of a body of believers that is growing in him. But at the end of the day, what it's about is that restored relationship. Paul's focus was not on what he was or what he had. It was not on that false standard he once pursued. It was on Christ and him alone. period. Not Christ plus Sunday school program. Again, don't get me wrong. Sunday school program is not wrong. Not Christ plus a specific form of worship. Not Christ plus anything. Paul's focus was Christ and Christ alone. That was the treasure he pursued. That was his goal. That was his prize. Period. Mic drop. That was it. You thought that was funny. I got one laugh for the mic drop. It's okay. I like to hear laugh, right? Now, some of you may be saying, hey, Pastor Mike, you don't understand the struggles I have. You don't know my weaknesses. And you're right, I don't. I don't know your struggles. I don't know your weaknesses. Some of you I know, but even those of you who I know the most, probably Kevin and Don, honestly, I know this deep, right? Some of the deepest that I know about Kevin and Don is because of Robbie and his wife and the family out in Kingsville, like Kingsville First Baptist. It's not even because of knowing you guys, it's because of knowing family that you're connected to. So I don't know your weaknesses, your struggles. You may say, I'm not made like Paul. I'm not well educated. I don't have money. I don't speak well. I don't have whatever it may be. To you this morning, I really feel that the Lord wants to remind you that those are the world's standards. Kids back there, you're early on in the days. You're getting hit with the world's standards all the time. Young ladies, the world's saying how you should look. This beauty standard, how you should act, what a man should be and shouldn't be. Those are all the world's standards. And don't get me wrong, there are some things that a young man should and shouldn't do. There are some things a young woman should and shouldn't do. But at the end of the day, it's not about whether you have your hair braided or brushed straight and slicked back. It's not about whether or not you are able to play basketball or write a poem. None of that matters. You are exactly who and how he designed you to be. Do you realize that? Young adults in the room, I want you to hear me that. Don't get me wrong. Older adults too. But young adults, you really need to hear this. You are exactly who and how he designed you to be. That's coming from a man with ADHD. Goodness, I did not fit in to the standard when I was younger. I would walk up to a group of my peers, and within about 20 seconds, I'd say something stupid, and they'd look at me like I had three heads and walk away. That's okay, because that's the same brain that God gave me that allows me to do things like preach today or lead Matthew House the way I do, to see things the way I do. Church, you are exactly who and how he designed you to be. You are the perfect cracked pot for his purpose. Somebody once called me a crackpot. And you know, that's an insult, right? Oh, you're such a crackpot. And then I thought about it. And I thought about this scripture I'm going to share with you in just a second from Corinthians 4, 7 to 12. And I thought, man, that's a compliment. So flip to 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 12. It says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Not leather bags, you know, not the wineskins, not silver and gold and brass finery, jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Church, the weaker we are, the stronger God shows. right? So if we pursue the standard of trying to be strong, of trying to look like the world, we're actually stopping God from shining through us. Don't get me wrong, we shouldn't just wallow in our weaknesses. We should yield our weaknesses to Him. It continues in 2 Corinthians 4. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Again, I talk openly about almost anything, well, pretty much anything to do with me. I talk openly about my ADHD. Why? Because you guys need to know that's a struggle for me. Why? Not so that you can have pity on me, so that when good things come out of this brain, you give glory to God. Right? Oh, I'm getting wound up. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Church, I want to encourage you this morning to guard against the false standards of this world. You may feel like you're not measuring up, that you're not tall enough, you're not a good enough singer, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you don't know enough, you don't have enough education, you don't have enough money or connections. And in fact, you may not, by the world standards. But it doesn't matter, because those are the world standards. In God's economy, those things simply don't matter. In fact, God intentionally places us in jars of clay. Some of us have more cracks than others. But He places us in jars of clay so that the treasure He places inside can shine out. And again, what is that treasure? Christ and? Christ and what? Oh, come on. Christ and nothing. Christ and Christ alone. I know that was tricky. Christ and Christ alone. So here's my challenge. I always wrap up with a challenge. Here's my challenge to all of us this week. Be on guard for, watch out for those dogs. Those dogs who speak lies into your mind, in your heart, telling you that you need to be something different, to look different, to have something different. Those lies that tell you that you are not enough. Because Christ is enough and Christ is in you, do you realize that means that you are enough? Do you realize that? God spoke that. I was away at a retreat a few weeks ago. Really honored and was walking through the mountains and God just spoke that into my heart. Said, Mike, you know I'm enough, right? And I said, yeah, of course. He said, and because I'm enough, you're enough, right? Do you know that, church? Each and every one of you, kids, young adults, you are enough. And look is each in the eyes. You are enough. Isaiah, right? Isaac, you are enough. Do you realize that? Doesn't mean your behavior is always going to be perfect. Mom will testify to that, I'm sure. But you as a person are enough. You don't need to meet the world's standards. You need to pursue Christ. Watch out for those dogs who would tell you anything different. Because that is not your treasure. That is not your standard. Church, seek Christ and Him alone this week. Let's pray. And then, Don, you got a closing hymn, and I'll come up with a benediction. Father God, I thank you so much for your love and grace and mercy. I thank you that in you we are enough. We have enough. Father God, help us to remember that we are not pursuing the standards of this world, but that we are pursuing you. And help us to seek you and only you this week. We give you the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.